This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The effect of eye contact on memory and information retention. Why what you see in someone's eyes determines what you remember.
In short,
eye contact memory is not a soft skill courtesy.
Sustained gaze during a conversation changes what the brain encodes and how well it later recalls the information. Without it, words pass through the room and leave almost nothing behind.
Eye contact signals to the brain that incoming information is worth storing. The effect is not consciously controlled by the listener. It happens automatically. You can use this knowledge to make your words genuinely stick. Definition: eye contact memory refers to the effect that sustained mutual gaze has on how the brain encodes and later retrieves spoken information. When direct eye contact accompanies a conversation, the brain prioritizes what it hears, leading to deeper processing and stronger recall. There is a particular kind of conversation most of us have had. Someone speaks to us at length, and we nod, and we seem to follow it, and then 20 minutes later we cannot reconstruct much of what was said. The words came in, but they did not stick. And there is another kind of conversation, where a single sentence lodges so firmly in the mind that years pass, and you still carry it. I spent a long time wondering what separated those two experiences. The answer kept coming back to one thing: whether or not there was real eye contact in the room. I do not mean a passing glance. I mean the kind of gaze that tells the other person you're fully present, that their words have somewhere to land. The effect of eye contact on memory and information retention is not a motivational platitude. It is something I have watched play out across 6 decades of communication, in boardrooms and back kitchens, intense negotiations and quiet conversations between friends.
What strikes me most is how automatic it is. The listener does not choose to remember more. The brain simply does, because the eyes told it to pay attention.
What most people understand about eye contact and what they miss.
Most people know, in a general way, that eye contact is polite. They were told this as children. They understand it signals respect, perhaps confidence. If you pressed them, they might say it shows you are listening.
That surface understanding is not wrong.
It is just incomplete. What it misses is the deeper process running underneath the behaviour.
Eye contact does not merely communicate that you're paying attention. It actively produces attention in the other person's brain at a level they cannot consciously override.
The difference between those two things is enormous.
If eye contact only signals attention, then it is a courtesy, a social nicety you can use or skip depending on preference. If eye contact creates attention, then its absence is not a style choice. It is a structural flaw in the communication itself, one that directly reduces how much the listener will retain.
The core mechanism: how gaze shapes what the brain stores.
Here is what I have come to understand through years of watching how people communicate and what they remember afterward.
When a speaker holds the listener's gaze, the listener's brain receives a signal this matters. That signal is not a thought.
It happens below conscious awareness, in the part of the brain that allocates processing resources and decides what is worth encoding for later retrieval.
Think of it this way: the brain is not a recording device. It filters constantly, deciding what to hold and what to release. Most of what passes through a day disappears because the brain judged it low priority.
Eye contact tips the scale. It tells the brain that this moment, this speaker, this information deserves to be kept.
The mechanism works in both directions.
When the listener makes eye contact with the speaker reads that gaze as confirmation that they are being heard. This typically produces a subtle shift in the speaker's behavior. They slow down slightly. They speak with more deliberate emphasis. They land on key words rather than rushing past them. The clarity that results makes the information even easier to encode. Eye contact, in this way, improves both the quality of what is delivered and the brain's readiness to store it.
There is something worth naming here about mutual gaze specifically.
One-sided looking, where the speaker watches the listener, but the listener is glancing elsewhere, carries a fraction of the effect.
The full encoding boost comes when both people are in contact. That mutual attention creates a loop, a shared present moment that the brain flags as significant.
Information delivered inside the loop gets treated differently from information delivered into a distracted room. This is also why nonverbal communication in tense situations so frequently breaks down at the level of gaze first.
When people are anxious or defensive, they withdraw eye contact.
And when that contact disappears, the encoding effect disappears with it, which is part of why people leave tense conversations with muddled,
incomplete recollections of what was actually said. What this looks like in real situations. Let me give you a few concrete pictures of the mechanism at work. In a team meeting, a manager delivers 6 action points. She reads them from her notes, glancing up occasionally but mostly looking down at the page. 3 days later, the team has absorbed roughly half of what she said, and there is disagreement about which half. The words were all spoken. The information was technically in the room, but the absence of consistent eye contact meant the brain received no strong signal to encode any of it as urgent or important. You can read more about the communication structures that shape what gets retained in the role of communication in meeting success. Now picture a different version. The same manager, the same 6 points, but this time she sets her notes aside and delivers each point to a specific person in the room, holding gaze for the full sentence before moving to the next person. The room listens differently. The attention is visible. And the recall, days later, is sharper across the board, because each person felt the information was directed at them, not broadcast into the air. A second situation I have seen repeatedly: someone gives instructions or feedback while looking past the person they are addressing, glancing at a screen or over a shoulder. The recipient listens. They believe they have understood. But when the moment comes to act on what was said, they find they have retained the general feeling of the exchange more than its content. The gaze was absent, the signal never fired, and the detail slipped away. This pattern is worth keeping in mind when ensuring every participant gets heard, because being heard and being encoded are not the same thing. Why this connection goes unrecognized. Most people, when they forget something from a conversation, blame themselves. Their concentration was off. They were distracted. They should have taken notes. They rarely look at the gaze dynamic in the room and ask whether that was what failed them. Part of the reason is that the effect is invisible. It does not feel like anything while it is happening. You do not notice your brain deciding to encode more or less. You simply find, later, that you remember or you do not. The other reason is that eye contact tends to be treated as an output, something you do to show a state of mind, rather than as an input that actively shapes what both people take from the exchange. That framing keeps people focused on what eye contact communicates about them rather than on what it produces in the other person's brain. This matters enormously in high-pressure communication. When a conversation involves conflict or strong emotion, the natural human response is to break gaze, to look away as a form of self-protection. But that is precisely when the encoding effect is most needed and most absent. Understanding the amygdala hijack and how it escalates workplace tension helps explain why this happens. Stress degrades the very behaviours that would help the conversation land clearly. Dominant voices in a room also tend to hold gaze longer and more confidently, which is part of why their points get retained even when they are not the strongest arguments. It is a social dynamic worth understanding when you're trying to deal with dominant voices in a discussion. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Eat Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. How to use this understanding when you speak. The practical implication of all this is not complicated. If you want what you say to be remembered, you need to hold the other person's gaze at the moments that matter most. That does not mean staring. Unbroken eye contact for long stretches feels aggressive, not connecting. The method I have come back to over decades is this: hold gaze for the length of a complete thought, 3 to 5 seconds for most sentences, then release briefly and re-establish. The pattern builds a rhythm the listener's brain finds comfortable rather than threatening. In group settings, the tool is distributing that same sustained gaze across individuals rather than scanning the room in a sweeping and focused way. Land on one person per key point. Let the thought complete before you move to the next face. Each person who receives that gaze encodes the content more deeply, and the group's collective recall improves. This is a method I find invaluable in any meeting where decisions need to stick. It pairs naturally with how to handle conflict during meetings, where clarity of communication is not a nice to have, but a necessity. For high-stakes conversations, preparation helps. When I know a conversation is going to be difficult or consequential, I prepare not just what I will say, but how I will hold my presence in the room. Part of that preparation is deciding, in advance, that I will stay connected through gaze even when the instinct to withdraw is strong. A good tool for this kind of preparation is the conversation pre-mortem, which lets you anticipate the moments most likely to trigger that withdrawal. One more specific application: if you are delivering information you genuinely need someone to act on, look at them when you say the most important sentence. Not before it, not after, during. That is when the encoding signal fires strongest, and that is the sentence they will carry with them when they leave the room. The question this leaves you with: there is a version of every important conversation where the words are right, but the information does not land. The sentences are clear, the message is well constructed, and still the other person walks away with a vague impression rather than a clear understanding. In my experience, gaze is more often the missing piece than people realize. Eye contact memory is not a technique you apply on top of good communication. It is part of the structure of good communication, as fundamental as the words themselves. When your eyes are engaged with the person in front of you, you are not just showing respect. You are actively building the conditions in which what you say can be remembered. The next time something you said fails to produce the result you expected, before you rework the message, ask yourself whether the gaze was there. That small question has changed how I communicate more reliably than almost any other single adjustment I've ever made. Frequently asked questions. How does eye contact affect memory retention? Eye contact signals to the brain that incoming information matters, which triggers deeper encoding. When someone holds your gaze while speaking, your attention sharpens, and the brain treats what it hears as worth storing. This makes recall significantly stronger than in conversations without eye contact. How much eye contact is enough to improve information recall? Sustained eye contact in stretches of 3 to 5 seconds, broken naturally and re-established, tends to keep the listener alert without creating discomfort. The rhythm matters as much as the duration. Steady, natural contact across a conversation produces far better recall than a fixed, unblinking stare. Does eye contact memory work the same in virtual meetings? Screen-based communication weakens the effect because camera position rarely aligns with the on-screen face. Looking at someone's image on a screen and looking into a camera are two different actions. The closer you position the camera to your eye line, the more of the effect you can recover. Why do people retain more from face-to-face conversations than written messages? Face-to-face conversation combines spoken words with gaze, facial expression, and physical presence. Eye contact, in particular, creates a loop of mutual attention that text cannot replicate. The brain allocates more processing resources to information delivered through direct human presence than to words on a page. Can poor eye contact cause someone to forget what you said? Yes. When a speaker avoids the listener's gaze, the listener's brain receives a subtle signal that the information is low priority. Attention drifts, encoding weakens, and recall suffers. It is not deliberate on the listener's part. The brain responds to the absence of gaze automatically, below conscious awareness. How does eye contact memory retention apply in meetings and presentations? In meetings, speakers who distribute eye contact across participants hold more of the room's attention and improve group recall of key points. In presentations, landing on one person per thought and holding gaze for a full sentence anchors the message far more effectively than scanning the room. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.